This is the Last Minute Blues Podcast with Donnie Fandango, Jeff Burton, Alex Ferrario, and former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers.
It is the Last Minute Blues Podcast. Donnie Fandango joined in studio by Jeremy Rutherford. Our guy Alex Ferrario is out on the road today. Now listen, Alex took the day off today. Alex and his lovely wife taking a road trip to see Dan and Shay in Columbus, Ohio. And so I've been thinking about this, JR. First of all, hello.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, buddy.
I don't know that you are going to find many people on the planet that are nicer than Alex Ferrario.
Unbelievable.
Dude, he is such a hard worker, such a great dude. He's so awesome. I'm so thankful to be doing the podcast with you guys. But yet, I have made it to where our amazing friend Alex is afraid to admit when he's going to see a band because he's afraid of what I'm going to say. And I just want to apologize to Alex for being a jerk because I felt bad about that since we podcasted on Tuesday, man. Like, I am just such a, I guess I am such a music head and such one of those jerks about it that sometimes even when I'm trying to be funny, I don't think I'm maybe sounding very funny. And Alex is awesome. I would just never, ever want it to be where Alex want to tell me that he's going to see Dan and Shay, for God's sakes.
Well, and I got to say this, and I've told you this a million times. You know, I've been an admirer, follower of yours for a long time. You know, grew up listening to The Point. But I will say, not with you, but with people who are in music in general, you guys are so good at what you do, and you know music. You know what's good, what's bad, who are good guys, who are bad guys, that I feel like sometimes when I mention bands that I like, you do kind of hesitate as you get ready to say the band's name. And so sometimes you'll say, like, hey, I kind of like Steely Dan. What do you think?
You see, I don't love that, okay? And here's why. Steely Dan. Okay, first of all, on Steely Dan specifically, that's just something I've never been able to get. But, like, I respect the fact that, like, all of my friends that are huge that are musicians on top of being music fans, they friggin' love Steely Dan. So, obviously, there's something going on there, all right? But, like, what I think I kind of forget sometimes, I just forget kind of, I think, my delivery of it. But I love it when people just love music, period.
Yeah.
Whatever the heck that is, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, I even try, like, we've talked about it before. You remember we had the big Nickelback and Coldplay conversations. But, like, I just love it when people love something so much that they're going to travel friggin' 10 hours by car to go see Dan and Shay in Columbus, Ohio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, whatever musical thing that's yours, run with it.
No, that's good, Donnie. Hey, and while we're talking about this, yeah, I'd love to hear what you've encountered throughout your career. So you're talking to somebody. Maybe you're at a barbecue. Your wife drags you to this thing, and so you're talking to these people, and they start talking music, and you listen to them, and you kind of have to gauge what level they're at, right, in terms of what they know, mm-hmm. things like that. So sometimes I'll find myself at a barbecue, and let's just go back years ago, and so you're talking to somebody, and they're talking blues hockey, and they're saying, you know what, I just really think TJ Oshie's a good player, and they should hang on to him for a long time. So now I'm like, okay, so now I'm feeling it out. You're talking to him, and you start talking a little bit about TJ Oshie, and then at the very end of the 10 or 15 minute conversation, they'll say, I just think he's a good defenseman. I think he's a real good defenseman. and you're like, can I get the 15 minutes back? Like, he's not a defenseman. Does anybody tell you?
Okay, see, but that's when the obsessive part of me takes over, because I can't just let it go. I would have to correct
it. How do you work it in there?
I don't know. It would most likely be awkward if I were doing it, just to be honest with you. But, like, in my head, I can't let that go. I think that's part of my sickness. I don't know, man. But you know, man, I just think it's with the way that music has evolved since I was a kid, man, because, like, in the 90s, if a band that I loved had a song in a television commercial, I would have been heartbroken. Oh my God, these sellouts. I can't believe that their music, blah, 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 blah. And that has evolved so much for me over time, you know, realizing that these folks got to pay bills just like we do. But more than anything else, and like I said before, I just love it when people have that freaking musical release, whatever it is. And then also, I think I'm going to start playing bands that I love for Alex so that he could crap on them.
There you go.
Because there is no way that I'm going to play him Bad Religion and he's going to go, oh, I love this. I mean, maybe so, but I think that the chances are very, very, very slim.
Hey, and I got to tell you, you touch on Alex, and I got to say something about him for a minute. So over the years, you know, I think I started at the Post-Dispatch 1998, started covering the blues like 05, 06, and throughout the years, you'll get people to email, reach out. Maybe somebody, mutual friend, reaches out. Hey, I got this young kid who wants to learn. He wants to get into the business. And let's just say you've had 100 of those over the last 20 years that I've been covering the blues. Alex is right there, number one. He went, when I first met him and somebody said, hey, this guy would like to get into the business. Can you do anything? You know, he went up to a lot of blues games. I know Chris Kerber helped him out. And I kind of set him and Kerber up. And Alex was a guy who, instead of you trying to find things for him to do, he was going out and finding them on his own. He'd come back to me and say, hey, I'm going to call the Lynnwood men's basketball games on the PA or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Next week he'd say, hey, I'm doing this. So that's my message to the young kids. Hey, look, you can catch a break, but like Alex, you know, put yourself into those positions and do as much as you can. And don't rely on somebody who's already in the business to go find those opportunities for you. You can go out there and find them on your own. And so anyway, that's my quick thought on Alex is he's just taking it and run with it.
Well, and I think you guys, and you know what, if I can even maybe throw myself in that same category as you guys, as far as this goes, the grind never stops, you know? So like, it's a lot of work to get there. And it's a lot of work to stay there, and it's a lot of work to try to excel at it. So you just got to really be ready to dig in for the long term, especially now. You know, it's really hard to get in now. I definitely think it's probably harder now than it probably ever has been to get into one of these positions. And so when you get there, you want to make the most of it. And, man, when you see the hustle on Ferrario every goddang day, dude, it's unbelievable. Like, unbelievable. And then on top of it, he's a super nice guy, and I make fun of the bands that he likes.
Yeah, but you apologize.
Yes, I do.
So you're all even now.
I genuinely do feel bad. So, okay, so there's a few things to talk about here, JR, and obviously, these Blues, I don't even know what to think anymore. They've won two in a row now. Obviously, the playoff picture is murky. It's still a long shot for them to make it in. And I don't even know, as I'm standing here at this point, JR, if I want them to make the playoffs or if I don't want them to make the playoffs. I think more than anything else, I would love to just see them finish the year playing well. And whatever happens, happens. But like, even after the win against the Kings, okay, that was awesome. You don't have Jordan Binnington or Joel Hofer playing goal in those games, you're probably not going to win that game. So it's just, I feel like maybe some of these wins have a little bit of an asterisk on top of it as well. What do you think?
Yeah, here's the unfortunate part for you, Donnie, is that 16 games left, right?
Yeah.
The Blues either need to win them all or lose them all to put themselves in the two best positions possible.
That's right?
Yeah, because if they go 8-8, that's going to be tough. First of all, 8-8, they're not going to make the playoffs. But, you know, you're putting yourself in a situation where, yeah, I think a lot of fans that I talk to, you know, half of them want the team to make the playoffs. Half of them want the top 10 draft pick. And, you know, the way they're playing right now, they're giving themselves a chance. So,
yeah,
you know, they're 6 points back. I considered that game against LA a must-win game. That's a game, that's a team that you're chasing, and you win that game. And, you know, you're starting to see some trends where not only is Binnington doing his thing, I mean, that's just almost to be accepted at this point, but now you're getting some good play from that third line, you're getting some secondary scoring, and I think, now I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but I think you see the Blues realize the situation and play with some urgency and say that, hey, this is something that we want to do.
Right.
And we haven't always seen that this year. I guess we're going to find out this weekend because you got back-to-back games against Minnesota and Anaheim. They're two teams that you can beat, should beat in the case of Anaheim, and you can continue to put yourself in a position that, you know, maybe they can make the playoffs.
It's really crazy to kind of see how all of this go down because trade deadline comes, a team like Detroit. I'm thinking to myself, boy, they are going to accent what they already have. They've got Patrick Kane, who's playing his ass off. They've lost 7 in a row and are completely imploding. They even pulled the 2019 Blues yesterday, where they had a fight at their practice. So, and you've got Vegas, who's not playing particularly very well. So how do you kind of see this shaking down specifically in the West? Who do you think has got, and I know I mentioned Detroit, who's in the East, but like as far as the West goes now, you've got Vancouver, who seems like they're stumbling a little bit, and oh boy, watch out for these Colorado Avalanche, who all of a sudden have caught friggin' fire and are playing really well too.
They look real good, Donnie. They made some changes at the deadline, and I like their changes. Somebody asked me to rank them today, and I had Avalanche tops in the West. You know, I still like Dallas, but I give Colorado the edge there. You know, the thing about stumbling before the playoffs begin, and we're just a few weeks away from the playoffs, you know, it looks bad, and you worry about the team a little bit. And in the case of Detroit, yeah, when you lose seven in a row and you're right there, you have to have major concern there. But, you know, even with a team like Vancouver, they've shown it for so long throughout the course of the season that, you know, you can pick things up in a matter of games. So there's plenty of time for that. So, you know, you look at the divisions now, Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg. I like those three teams. I don't see, you know, much change in there. And then you have Vancouver, Edmonton, and L.A. in the Pacific. You know, I could see Vegas, if they could get their stuff together. They've made some changes. Obviously, they brought in Hurdle. He's banged up, but we'll see when he gets back. I think that Vegas could climb that ladder there. And the team that I look to in terms of the Blues potentially, if the Blues continue to play well, they could push out is LA, and that's the team that they beat a couple days ago. So I think that if you look at this, it shapes up like I think it's going to be a dogfight for these last two wild card playoff spots, and I think that you have to put Nashville in there for sure. What are they, 8-0-2 in their last 10?
Just crushing it.
Just unbelievable. And then it's either going to be Vegas, but if Vegas climbs into the Pacific Division standings, top three, maybe that pushes LA down, and so the Blues and Minnesota kind of fighting with those teams for the wild card.
And for a team like Vegas, and this, you know, I just talked about that they've been stumbling lately, not playing great really for the last couple of months. I know their coach has been very critical of their defensive effort a couple of different times, but if that team makes the playoffs,
yeah,
that's not who I want to play in round number one. You figure that would be a nightmare of a draw for whoever they get.
Yeah, for sure. They're going to be ready, and they've got the experience. That's what happens. I remember, you know, the Blues had a great year after the Stanley Cup season, but, you know, I think when you have that success that Vegas has had and like the Blues had in 2019, you just know when to be ready. Mm-hmm. Remember, right? I think it was right when the pandemic kind of broke in 2020, is the Blues were just hitting that level. They were just hitting their stride. I mean, they were up near the top of the standings, but they were playing unbelievable hockey right before that happened. And then, of course, you had the break and then the COVID. But I think Vegas is kind of in that boat. You've played a lot of hockey in the last 18 months. You won the Cup. You know, you come down from that, and then you say, okay, well, we can get through the regular season, then we know it's time to play.
All right, so then let's go over to the other side in the East. You know, like, it just, one of the great parts about watching some of these games, especially when it goes down to the Eastern side, is that I don't have any real skins in the game, so I just enjoy just kind of watching it all go down. Well, who do you think over there's got a good shot?
Well, and again, you know, I don't want to stick to the teams that are right there in those top three spots in each division because it's convenient, but there's only a couple weeks left and you don't see too much movement with these teams. You know, I like the Rangers. We just saw them the other night. We're at Madison Square Garden with the Blues. I think they won three in a row and didn't allow many goals until last night. So they're playing really good hockey. Carolina, I just like the fact that they added at the deadline. Like for a couple years now, you talk about they need scoring, but they won't go out and get it at the deadline, and this year they did, so they tried to help themselves. The Flyers, they've been kind of an overachiever all year. We'll see what happens with them in the playoffs. My team, Donnie, I got to go with Florida. I just think Florida is outstanding. I think last year that run, that just taught them a lot of lessons, and I think they're prime to be the team out of the East this year. You know, I keep thinking it could be a Florida final. At one point, I did say a Winnipeg Florida final. My boss I told you that.
Yes.
Yeah, he said a tree falls in the woods. Does anybody hear it? But maybe a Florida Colorado final. But then you got Boston. We saw them the other night. And one of these years is going to be Toronto's year. We don't know which decade that will come.
Right.
But you got Toronto. And then the two teams in the wild card in the East, the Lightning and the Islanders. Lightning look pretty good. Islanders are playing better hockey here, and it's helped, of course, as you mentioned, with Detroit falling off a little bit.
Yeah, Buffalo, though, is creeping over there on the Islanders and beat them last night, as a matter of fact.
Yep, 69 points, and then the Islanders are sitting there with 72. So Buffalo has put it together in the last couple of games and looking better after, you know, kind of a tough year for them.
Yeah, I always root for the Pegulas. I absolutely can't. I can't stop. Well, this is great because...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Because playoff hockey is one of my very favorite things in the entire face of the universe, whether or not the Blues are there or not. I was really excited and honestly kind of surprised to see Matthew Kessel get the two-year, one-way deal, $800,000 per year, I think is what it broke down to. Congratulations to this young man who, at the beginning of the year, I'm not even sure if I knew his name, to be incredibly honest with you, and has absolutely made his presence felt and has made a place for himself by his play.
Yeah, and you know, hear me out here when I say this. When fans say that they don't know much about him, just over the years, I'm not talking about this case in particular, but sometimes I feel like I could have done a better job writing the past couple of years to explain who these guys are. The only thing is, I got to be honest with you here, there wasn't a lot of buzz with Kessel, and he's a fifth-round draft pick, 23 years old, had a good college career, but when you talked about players in the system, we've been talking a lot the past couple of years about the forwards, you know, and then when you add to it with a Dvorsky, you know, so much buzz about those forwards, and you looked at this Blues defensive prospect pool, and you didn't think much about it. You know, you've had Perenovic there for the past couple of years, but he's been banged up. And then every once in a while, you'd hear the name Kessel. And, okay, well, they haven't given him a shot yet. You know, we'll see when he gets up here. And then he comes up and he plays just the one game, so you can't really make an evaluation. But Donnie, he's come up. He's up to 26 games in the NHL right now. I asked him the other night, how have you made the impression you've made in just 26 games? I remember John Davidson used to say, it takes about 300 games to get an idea of who a player is.
Yeah.
And here you got this kid, 26 games, and he's shown it. And I just left a press conference with Drew Bannister after practice today, and he said that here's where he gives Kessel credit. They went to him after he had a good college career, put up some good offensive numbers, he was on the power play, and they said, listen, you're a good offensive player, but we think your home in the NHL is more of a defensive game, penalty kill, and that's tough for a young player to hear, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But here's one way I said this to Drew. I said, do you tell him, hey, I could see you making $1.6 million in the next couple of years on a two-year deal with the Blues? So he's earned it. Obviously, you know, long ways to go. We'll see. You know, there's still going to be some lumps. But in terms of a right shot guy who's willing to play that defensive style, you know, Donnie, he made a great aggressive defensive play in the game the other night. He continues to do that. I think he's a real good find for the Blues.
Well, and also, too, one of the things about him – it doesn't, and I'm not saying that he doesn't make mistakes or anything like that, because obviously he does, but like, he does not seem to play with as little NHL experience as he has.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah. There is a confidence about the way in which that he goes about his business that kind of makes you forget that he hasn't been on the team all year.
Super well said, because, you know, whether it be forward defense, we've all watched prospects in the past 10 or 20 years where you're like, oh, that guy's green. You know, he's going to take some time. Look at that mistake. Even, like, go back to a Jake Walman. I remember watching him, and you're kind of rooting for him, you know, a little bit of an underdog, and he'd come up the ice and turn the puck over. And then, you know, two possession later, he turned the puck over. And it's like, man, if he could just eliminate that, he could be a pretty good player. So there's prospects like that where you see the mistakes. And, I mean, can you count 3 or 4 or 5 mistakes by Matthew Kessel in the time that he's been here? I don't know that you can. And I know, you know, he got sent down recently, and his game tailed off just a touch. But he went down, he cleaned it up, gets the call back up, and he's looked good in the past couple of games. And, Donnie, the thing with him, not only does he look pretty good, he's making Torrey Krug, they're a great pair.
Yeah, they sure are.
Playing well together.
I mean, he and Torrey Krug's game seemed like it was immediately elevated when he was playing with Kessel, which to me is fascinating about this, because it's not like those two guys had had a lot of time playing together before. So I think that just kind of speaks to how sometimes there's just magic, or whatever the heck you want to call it, chemistry between two players that make it work.
Yeah, and it comes with a predictability. You know, Torrey Krug, with a young guy like Kessel, sometimes you don't know, but he's playing predictable hockey, and that's what makes it easier for Torrey Krug.
If Scott Perunovic can stay healthy, and I understand that that's a big if for this poor guy, who legitimately, every time I see his name pop up on social media, my flipping stomach sinks, but if Scott Perunovic can stay healthy, what do you see his ceiling as? Because there are times, man, where when I'm watching him, especially on the power play, that, you know, you forget that Krug's not out there. I mean, he's just really tremendous at being able to move the puck.
Yeah, so I think that he has a future in the NHL. The thing is, he needs to keep playing. That's the bottom line, because he's so far behind on games played because of the injuries.
Yeah.
So if, let's just say, he hadn't been injured, not only would he not have that reputation, but he'd have way more games under his belt, right? And I think we'd see a more polished Scott Perunovic. So he's got a ton of upside because he can skate and he can move the puck. The one thing is the physicality. And I know there's undersized defensemen that can get away with it because they move the puck so well. And he does do that at times. But if the other team is taking it to him or taking it to the Blues on the forecheck, I think he can get overwhelmed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of leads to mistakes. So I think that's where he's going to struggle. But that's going to come with games played. And I know you know this, but, I mean, it's almost like you can't talk about Perunovic's situation without spelling out the fact that he needs to get to a certain number of games this year for the Blues to retain his rights. If he falls short of that, I believe it's like 74 career games, then he will become an unrestricted free agent. And the reason that's set up is, you know, they don't want teams to have guys that they don't play and they bury in the minors, and then this guy can just never get a chance to go play somewhere else. So there's a number there. I believe it's 74, and it's a situation where that's why they're playing him right now. You look at, you know, Marco Scandella, the veteran, sitting out. Part of the reason is they need Scott Perunovic in that lineup to get those games played.
And reason being, just to say, because we do not want to expose him to the rest of the NHL, because somebody will absolutely put money down on Scott Perunovic.
Yeah,
because
if he doesn't play enough games and he's able to leave as a Group 6 free agent, that means that on July 1st, Blues will have no rights to him. He just goes and signs with whoever he wants to.
So, some big news today, breaking that Doug Armstrong. Not a big surprise. He's pretty much going to be, I don't even know what we call him, the czar of Hockey Canada for the next like 5 years or so. JR, can you talk about this? Because this is not only just for the Olympics. This is for like the World Juniors and that Four Nations tournament next year, all of that, right?
Yeah, this is a big job. And so normally, you know, they name Doug Armstrong GM of Team Canada. You say, oh, that's great, and, you know, congratulations, Doug. But I specifically, when I tweeted it out, I said, this is a big position, because not only is this the GM of Team Canada for the Olympics in 2026 in Turin, Italy, that's a big deal in itself, but he will oversee the management process for the upcoming events. And we're talking about in 2025, I think you'll have the Four Nations. So that's U.S., Canada, Finland, Sweden. And he won't be the GM for that team, but he'll be basically helping make that hire in terms of who will be the GM. And also he'll do the same for the upcoming World Championships. So basically, if there's a boss of the boss, you know, for Team Canada, that's who Doug Armstrong is right now.
So, Doug is the person that I'm going to rephrase this. So when can we begin purchasing the Team Canada Jordan Bennington sweater? because I want to see it, because I think that might be the only time that I could ever see myself rooting for Team Canada is with Jordan Bennington behind it. But it needs to happen. And also why this needs to happen, JR, is because the hockey world needs to see Jordan Binnington do for Team Canada against great talent for what he does for us every freaking night of the goddamn week.
For sure. I got to ask you, though. So let's say Binnington's in net for Canada and mm-hmm. they're playing the Americans. Who are you rooting for? Are you wearing the Binner jersey?
Dude, that's really tough. I mean, I guess, I don't know, man. I mean, that is a really difficult question. I mean, I would assume I would root for the U.S. because I always have. But, I mean, I don't know, man. Binner's one of my very favorite players. He is one of the reasons that I believe that the Blues can eventually get this figured out in a not-too-distant future. You know, so that would be really tough, yeah. man. But also, I was listening the other day. And I was listening to Sirius, and I was listening to one of their NHL shows. And they were talking about how they believe that Team USA or that U.S. hockey has almost essentially caught up with Team Canada and that. And so, like, I wonder if part of Doug Armstrong being the boss there is, hey, we got to get back to number one. Yeah. We got to get back to the undisputed kings of these things because we invented this, for God's sake.
Yeah, Armstrong is certainly a prideful guy when it comes to Canada. Shoot, he was on the staff in 2010 and 14, Steve Yzerman's staff, when they won gold. He won a gold at the World Championships. He was the GM of the World Cup of Hockey when they played that up in Toronto in 2016 and won gold there. Like, to me, you know, somebody asked me this question in a mailbag a couple years ago, is Doug Armstrong a Hall of Famer? I think with that cup, with the Blues and what he's done internationally, certainly he's a Hall of Famer. So I do have good news. You have some time to decide who you're going to root for, because that's still a couple years away. But if you're Jordan Binnington, Donnie, you got to be, you know what, you want to make the team on your own merits. But I think Jordan Binnington, knowing that Doug Armstrong is the GM, he knows that he's going to get a fair shake when that decision comes down, and he's not going to be overlooked. And it's not to say if somebody else was in charge, he could get overlooked, but Doug Armstrong is watching every game of the St. Louis Blues. And I almost feel like that's what it takes to appreciate Jordan Binnington, because the people who are catching a Blues game like once every 3 weeks or once a month, and, you know, they know his reputation with swinging sticks and stuff like that, you know, that you're not going to give Jordan Binnington the benefit of the doubt. And I think Doug Armstrong is going to do that. Like, we saw a performance the other night, Donnie. That 40 save. I mean, just amazing.
Dude, he and it seems like he had done this all goddamn year, man. I mean, if it's not for Jordan Binnington and Joel Hofer, we're not even talking about playoffs. I mean, we're talking about one of those top 10 picks for sure.
Unbelievable. And Donnie, here's the best part. So we go in the locker room less than 10 minutes after the game's over. So he makes the 40 saves, Cujo-like he's flailing. You know, he's making these ridiculous stops. And we walk into his into the locker room and up to his stall. And Donnie, he is standing there, not breathing heavy, not doing anything. Like, I would be at Cutis funeral home in a casket if that was the situation.
Oxygen mask
on. For sure have an oxygen mask on. I'd be in a recliner. I'd be doing something. But he's just standing there like, hey, what's up, guys?
Like, he didn't just put on a performance. Hey, I want to ask a question about Doug Armstrong, all right? So to have that job, all right, and I almost think to have any kind of job like that, it has got to come, I don't know a better way to say it, JR, with a significant amount of ego, all right? And whether or not that is ego that is perceived by other people, you have to really, truly believe in yourself to be able to do some of the things that he does. Who is it? Is it just Mr. Stillman? Who is it that keeps Doug Armstrong's head from being able, you know what I mean, from being able to still fit into the Enterprise Center or what have you? You know, because again, and I don't say this to be rude to him or anything like that, but I mean, you have got to be a headstrong cat to do a job like that. So how does he ride that balance of being very confident, but maybe also having some people around him that kind of keep him on the path?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of believing in yourself and believing in your process. You know, even when things don't go well and you're getting criticized, you know, and obviously Team Canada, that's just up on
another level.
On another level, right? But, you know, I just think it's so many years in the business. Like, we think of Doug Armstrong, we think of him coming in 2008, general manager in waiting for 2 years, takes over for Larry Plough in 2010. But, I mean, Doug Armstrong goes back way before that. You know, he's in the Minnesota North Stars front office, a fly on the wall, learning with the Bob Gainey's. He spent time with Bob Clark. So he's been doing this for a very long time, and he's been with a lot of good people. And the other thing is he puts good people around him. You look right now, you got an Al MacInnis. You know, there's been a few over the years. You had Marty Brodeur. You know, he's got a great assistant in Ryan Miller, a capologist for the Blues who does a lot. So he surrounds himself, Tim Taylor, a lot of good people around him. And then that's the case with Team Canada too. So as part of that announcement today that Doug was going to be the GM for the Olympics in 2026, they also announced that Ryan Getzlaff, who everybody knows from Anaheim Ducks days, he's going to be kind of the consultant for player relations, and he's going to help. So I think that's the biggest thing. And hey, the one thing I always joke about this, there's a lot of pressure with Team Canada, but they also win a lot.
So. Yeah.
So when you're winning,
it certainly helps. It's amazing to me. I just find it very interesting the way that this sort of ego thing works in sports. You know what I'm saying? And there has to be a checks and balances system, even if you're somebody that's as good at their gig as Doug Armstrong is.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's tough. It's a tough job. There's a ton of pressure. You can't even dream of the pressure, but I think he believes in himself. And I will add this, too, because I know this is on Blues fans' mind, and, you know, it's hard to respond to everybody, so great chance here with the podcast to explain. A lot of people say, hey, don't the Blues have their own problems, and doesn't he need to spend his time helping the St. Louis Blues? Donnie, here's your answer, you know, and this is just my opinion. He is so engaged when it comes to Team Canada that requires him to know the league perhaps as well or better than anybody. And so there are so many extra trips to watch this player and that player and see what he can find around the league in terms of putting that Team Canada roster together that can only help decisions that he has to make with the Blues. Oh, this guy might be available. Okay, I watched these three players. That's a guy who I thought I might try to bring to St. Louis, but I've seen him three times here lately, and it's not the player I thought he was. You know, those will help his decisions when he's trying to sculpt this roster.
Well, and also, too, you're having conversations with all kinds of different people throughout the hockey world. So who knows if that sets the table for a move or something along those lines.
Yep.
I have a conspiracy theory. You want me to?
I normally
Alex is the conspiracy theory guy, but I got one today.
Let's hear it.
So Coach Q is coming in for this charity hockey game, isn't he?
Chasers game, yeah.
It's almost like you have him be a part of a charity thing, see what the public feedback is, gauge it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I do not know why I think this. This is also the same gut that said that the Blues were going to be a lot better than they are. I just have some kind of feeling that he is going to be the Blues'
next
head coach.
I would not completely rule it out. I would not completely rule it out. So the only thing is,
he still has to be reinstated by the NHL.
He's got to be reinstated by the NHL, you know, for his part in the Chicago Blackhawks situation. You know, he was forced to leave his job with the Florida Panthers. So I never rule it out just because, you know, Doug, you know, respects people who have had a great impact on the game, and Quinville's done that. I think that he could be a good coach, and of course he knows the terrain in St. Louis, having been here and been one of the winningest coaches in Blues history. The one thing I'll say is, if you're Joel Quinville, you know, you're obviously later in your career.
Yeah.
Does he want to come here, depending on
where
the circumstances are? Yeah,
sure.
With the retool, rebuild, you know, where are they, and what does he want to do? Now, if Doug says, hey, Joel, listen, we want to compete, and we're going to put a team on the ice that's going to compete while we're rebuilding, then maybe that's something that could attract Joel Quinville. So we'll see. But, hey, since you brought up the Chaser game, though,
yeah,
I will say this, and this goes back to our earlier conversation about me throwing out an artist name and wondering what your response is going to be.
Yeah.
Did you see who else was added to the list?
Garth freaking Brooks.
Garth Brooks.
Dude, unbelievable.
Okay, so we're good on Garth?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Listen, man. Listen, I mean, again, not a big fan of country music in general, all right, which there are a few exceptions. Chris Stapleton,
yep.
I freaking goddamn adore. Garth Brooks is so, Those songs could be pop songs. Those songs could be rock songs. Those songs could be country songs. They're just such great freaking songs, man. The thing that sucks, that my only complaint about Garth Brooks and all those great songs is that you can only get them now on Amazon Music.
Right.
And like, man, GB, put those records out on vinyl. I'll buy every goddamn one of them, man.
That's amazing.
I mean, what was the No Fences record that had Friends in Low Places and like 12 other great hits?
Yeah.
How cool is that? But then also, too, like there's a lot of stars coming in for that thing.
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Like Dierks Bentley's playing in the game and then also going to play after or something like that?
Yeah, Dierks Bentley will be there. And then Chaser's good friend, is it Joey from Family, what is it, with the sitcom show? With John Stamos.
Oh, yeah. Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier. Yep.
You know the thing about him?
No.
Do you know that the song You Ought to Know from Alanis Morissette is allegedly about him?
Oh, really?
Yes. And he is weirdly proud about that. Weirdly proud about a song that does not put him in a very good light. But that's going to be such a really great event out there at Centene. And also, too, the other day, and I tweeted about this, but I think it was during the second period of the Kings game, Chaser was up in the booth with Curbs, and it was really fantastic to hear Chaser back up there sounding really, really strong and really good, man.
Yeah, yeah. To hear his voice, it's great. Like so many stories with Kelly Chase over the years, you know, being on the media bus or being in the other rinks out of town with Kelly Chase. I'll just share one quick one. Is I'll never forget, we were playing, playing the New York Islanders. So we're in New York, and I'm writing my story, and I've told you this before, that the stories are due, like, literally the second the game's over. Like, you got to hit the send button as soon as the horn sounds, and you get a chance to go back and add a little to it, but you got to get that first one in right away. And so the Blues are losing. Let's just say it's 3-1, something like that. Well, they come back and tie it, and as Kelly Chase announced the goal in which the Blues won the game, Kerber announces the goal. Lee Stemniak shoots, he scores. And Kelly Chase goes, and Rutherford is tearing up his story and throwing it away.
That's so amazing.
He's got to rewrite his whole story after this one.
Dude, I love Chaser because in watching Kelly Chase fight when I was a kid with my dad, then that was the first time that my dad would tell me the Bob Gassoff stories.
Yeah.
And about how, like, he'd never seen anybody fight like Bob Gassoff, who seemed to, like, have this, like, sort of second gear where, like, they would be fighting for a while and the other guy would tire out, but then here come Bob with a second. And so, like, Chaser was always, like, kind of in that vein. And then I will never forget when he got traded to Hartford.
Yeah.
And that scene from the airport and his hockey teams there sending him off. It was, you know, man, that's one of those days where you're kind of like, God dang it, I don't know that I like sports that much, you know? But it's just good to hear Chaser and to see Chaser, you know, doing well or doing better.
Yeah, and we'll talk to Kelly. I actually had a conversation with him recently. I'm going to write a story at The Athletic about the game that's coming up. But a lot of good people coming for that, and Garth is one of his good buddies. Like, Chaser has a Rolodex there. I call him Rolodex. Are you...
I know what you mean. You know, I mean, contacts would probably, I don't even know what the kids would call it
these
days.
Yeah, what do they call it?
Yeah. I would have absolutely no idea. Yeah. I'll have to reach out to
But I'm glad we're good on Garth, because I took my wife to Vegas to see Garth for our 20th wedding anniversary this past year, and it was phenomenal. Just a quick one. He was talking about George Strait, and Garth played one on the crowd. He tried to make it like George Strait was there at the... at the Coliseum where we went to.
Yeah.
And he goes, ladies and gentlemen, he's done this, he's done that, and he's done... George, you guys thought he was going to be here?
And you know what? By all intents, I mean, like, all the interviews that I see and have read with him, he just seems like a pretty freaking normal guy. Like, all things considered, as normal as you can be with selling that many records, I suppose.
And talking about that Rolodex that he has, you know, when I talked to Chaser the other day for a story that I'm writing, he said, you know who really helped me kind of through this? And he, you know, he's modest. He goes, you know, not to name drop, I'm not trying to name drop, but been trading texts with Lance Armstrong. You know, he kind of went through the thing. He shows me a text from Lance Armstrong. Like, gee, many Christmas. This guy came from Western Canada and became who he became.
Unbelievable. Well, JR, thank you very much for making it in here today. I know you got to get out and you're going to join BK on the air today. But we want to thank our homies, Jamie Rivers, who's out on the road, Alex Ferrario, who we hope is enjoying Dan and Shay very well tonight, and our homie Jeff Burton. It's Donnie Fandango, Jeremy Rutherford for the Last Minute Blues podcast. As always, thank you for listening. Let's go Blues.
The Last Minute Blues podcast. Hear more at 1057thepoint.com.